G'day, listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Scouting Australia podcast, powered by Australian Property Scout Buyers Agency. I'm your host, Sammy Gordon, and today, guys, we've got a bit of a different episode. This episode today is breaking down a little bit about the APS culture and the APS team culture and the mission behind exactly what we do. Now, what I wanted to do, guys, was kind of bring in, and the big reason we wanted to unpack this is because a lot of people ask us about this all the time, about our mission statement and really what we're out there trying to do. And they ask us, oh, how far are you along with it? You know, how many people have gotten to this stage? I really want to be one of those 500 people. And so unpacking that mission statement today, guys, and giving you guys a bit of a mission update is actually retiring 500 people by 2030. Now, in the studio, we have the fan favorite, Mr. Lukey Chusin himself. Mate, welcome back to the show. How are you, big fella?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure having you, mate. Now, we have a much less asked for guest. I'll even call him a co-host, mate. I'll look after you like that. Oh, Mr. Jimmy Ibrahim, mate. Welcome back to the Sunshine State. How are you, buddy?
Very well. G'day, listeners. G'day, gentlemen. Good to be here with you both. And a very exciting topic, Semi Boy. Mm. This is where the rubber hits the road, as they say. Why we are here doing what we do and why you're doing what you do. So I've got a few questions that I'm going to hit you up about this particular mission because I know this is very dear to your heart.
Man, so. I think it really makes up a lot of the APS culture and it's very, you know, we hold it very closely towards all of us. And when we're looking at doing different things, you know, you hold this very closely towards decision making within the business as well. So, mate, I think it's a cool thing to unpack and – I think probably like why, like if we start with this and why this mission, you know, like why are we doing this? Why is it, you know, that we're chasing or aiming to retire 500 people by 2030? And I look around at a lot of different people, a lot of different players out there in the game and they've got all these different things they're trying to do or say or whatever. I don't see anyone with a very clear goal and vision of what they're trying to achieve for their clients. And this, like as you can see, the title, that's not us, right? We're not talking about us within this title. This is clients. This is clients that we're trying to get to their passive income goals and really hit those goals and do that within a timely window. Because so often people think it's a 20, 30 year game plan. And maybe if it's an enormous goal, that's how long it takes. But so often, you know, an average Australian income replacement or achieving what so many people talk about, 100, 150 grand, it doesn't need to take 20 to 30 years. And that's obviously what we help people, you know, obviously educating them on this platform, being the Scouting Australia podcast. We've got the School of Property that, you know, teaches a lot of people how to do it from a strategy perspective and building it all out as well. But then obviously from a buyer's agency perspective, which is really what we're talking about today, is, you know, really molding around that vision and helping people do that as well. So, man, I'm kind of excited to unpack it. We've kind of bandied around the idea of jumping on and talking about this thing since we came up with this and really committed to this as a team and an organization. So, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to really unpacking this today and giving the people a bit of an insight into APS, which is not really, I guess, something that we do too deeply.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of different metrics around this and you can understand why people – a little bit confused by it in a sense because it means different things to different people.
Yeah.
So before we get into the actual metrics around it, from you, Sammy Boy, how did you come up with the 500? Like was there a specific number? I'm just curious as to like in 2030.
We actually kind of came up with it as a more of a team. We kind of came together as a leadership team. It was the start of last year of 20. It was 2023 and we kind of were having a good look at it and one of the boys in the team said, we have to kind of come up with something around what are we really chasing? What are we doing this for? What can we all sort of stick to and chase as a mission statement? You know, something that we can chase as a business. And I think for me, man, it was like, I didn't want to set a ridiculous number because then you have to work with a ridiculous amount of clients to try and get someone to that number. So like 1,000, 10,000, something like that. It was too big. And in my opinion, it was just too an unmanageable number to help that many people get there. But I also didn't want to go too small where it was, you know, kind of handicapping the potential of what we could kind of help, you know, us grow into as well, but also help a lot more people kind of get to that figure as well. So, man, when it kind of came to the 500 people, I thought it was a very achievable target for us to be able to hit. We're still stretching, you know, still stretching. And there's enough people that we're obviously changing a huge amount of people's lives as well. So, man, I think like that many people was just something that we thought was an achievable target whilst still stretching. And 2030, man, in my opinion, and with what I've been able to do out there in the game as well, it is a time frame that is achievable if you fully commit to this. And maybe if you come in and you start, and obviously we set this, I think it was 23, might have been 22, whatever. When we set this thing, 7-8 years to be able to hit the goal, hit the target income, right? And people coming in with nothing, it would be a big stretch to hit most people's goals coming with absolutely nothing in that time frame. Does it mean it's impossible? No. Does that mean you would need to sacrifice a lot to get to that goal in that time frame? Yes. But for anyone sort of coming in and starting with a little bit, we've got a little bit more on the kitty to kind of maybe begin with, or decent borrowing power and all that, very confident that we can hit, and we will hit with a lot of the guys we've already started with, these passive income goals and retire people with what it is that they're chasing. So, yeah, man, I guess like in response is kind of like why that mission, how did we come up with it? It was something we thought was actually tangible and achievable, something we would also similarly have to work our asses off for our clients and with our clients to help them hit those goals.
Everyone has a different goal of what retirement actually means. And from you, Lukey, because you've dealt with a lot of people in retirement or financial planning or retirement planning, what does it actually mean? When someone says that they want to retire, what jumps out at you? I'm just curious.
Like from experience with it, really just being able to live comfortably and take care of their expenses and, you know, be able to do what they want to do. Generally, the majority of the population are not necessarily wanting to go on lavish holidays. They just want to be able to enjoy life and not worry about money. The biggest thing is, and all financial planners used to talk about motivating factors, and a lot of it is not having to worry about money. I'd say that was probably one of the most common things I heard when I did that style of sort of advice. But it means something different to everyone, you know. So somebody that might be 20, you know, trying to retire at 50, they're like, their goals are huge, which is perfect. You know, shoot for the moon, go hard. You've got heaps of time. You know, make mistakes, lose money. Like you're a perfect example of that. You lost money, you know, you're not worried about it. You go harder. But for people that 50, you know, it's different. Their goals are different. They just potentially want to maintain what they're currently doing. So everyone's goals are different. Everyone's idea of retirement's different, but I don't know if you want to touch on metrics now, or you would leave that for a bit.
Well, just from my side, if I can add about what I think or feel, if someone says to me, you can retire, for me, you know, when we all start out, you finish school or whatever it is, you go to work, right? So you're exchanging time for money. You get paid an hourly rate, you do your business, you're exchanging time for money. For me, what I think retirement means is where you no longer trade that time for money, where you can generate as much of your income from investments that you can choose to work if you want. You don't have to work. So it's basically just whatever your income is, if you could replace that from investments, then you are efficient. Like, you're not going to stop working, but you can retire. Is that?
Yeah, for sure. Like the way that I look at it, and this is the way that we define the metric of it. And it was funny because we went through so many different examples of like how we can do it. We'll talk about that in a second, right? Like the different ways that we talked about doing it. But ultimately, in a nutshell, what it came down to, and this came from personal experience. It came from personal experience because I, in my late 20s, I had replaced $60,000+ worth of passive income, right? And I was a $90,000+ income earner. I didn't fully replace my income, but I replaced enough that I was able to travel for a year, living pretty frugally. I've always lived quite a frugal person, aside from the occasional Ferrari or expensive car and whatnot. expensive trip and whatnot these days. Like, I still live pretty frugally. Like, you boys always see me, I'll always be wearing $20-$25 bloody black t-shirt, and you know, I don't live extremely lavish even now. And so for back then, I was obviously even more of a penny pincher. I didn't want to spend a lot of money. So for me to replace $60,000+, which also had a depreciable effect on the income on that portfolio as well, that wasn't that far off from making $90,000+ as an actual employee as well, and not really having the write-off. So but what I realized was like replacing that amount, and that to me was enough. My goal was 60,000, right? And I thought, when I hit 60,000, I live pretty frugally. I'll just travel. I'll rent out my house. I'll go travel for a bit and I'll be sweet. And I was able to do it at that time by myself. So I was just traveling by myself and I was able to kind of travel more on a budget, and it was sweet. Like, for me, it was fine. But what I realized after traveling for about a year is it's like, it's cool. It was cool, right? And I did really enjoy it. And I traveled a lot. I traveled about 10 months out of an 18-month window by myself. And you meet a lot of people, you get a lot of experiences, and you have a great time. And then you kind of...
You've done it.
And I'm still in my 20s. And I'm like, I've achieved a pretty significant thing in my 20s. And I'm not just going to like sit on this and not do anything else in this time frame. And that's when to me, I realized I needed more. And I was like, okay, well, if I need more, what am I going to do? And I need to chase something at the same time as well. And that's when I decided, I was tossing up a lot of different things, and that's when I decided to go down this path and start Australian Property Scout. But it was funny because I realized that income was not enough to sustain the sort of lifestyle that I wanted, because even though I could live at that money, I've always wanted a Ferrari. I've always wanted a mansion on the water. You know, I've always, as a kid, I wanted a yacht. These days, I know it's more cost effective to not buy the yacht, just, You rent it when you need it, when you want to use it, sort of thing. But it's one of these things that's just like, I wanted more. I always have from that perspective for that. So like, I was never going to settle on the 60 grand. But what it made me realize is that ultimately, when it comes down to like, what does retirement mean to you? It is being able to live the lifestyle that you want whilst not needing to work.
Mm.
Right? That's income replacement to the level of your goals. And so for everybody, that's different. And that's why this metric can't be the same for everyone. So, you know, we were talking about, is it the pension? Is it just beating the pension? Because really, that's just beating the odds. If the pension, the government pension is 26 grand, I think, for an individual, and 40, 43, or whatever it is for a couple, if you're beating that by a couple of grand, are you beating the odds and are you actually doing a better job? In my opinion, that's just trying to cheat the system.
The metrics,
cheat the metrics and trying to achieve something small. You know, and then, okay, well, do you double it? And do you go, all right, well, maybe we go 50 grand individually, 80 grand per couple or something like that. But still, to me, it's not, you can't live a great life on that. I look at that. I look at those incomes. I look at the pension. It's the government doing the absolute bare minimum that it has to do to keep you alive before you die. That's all the pension is. That is literally it. So you need to change that. You need to flip that script. What else can I achieve in that time frame? And this is where we start looking at, okay, well, what sort of lifestyle do you want to live? How much does that cost? What do we need to reduce from a debt position on your primary residence to own that outright? So then we've just got income coming in from the portfolio to be able to provide you with this type of life that you want to live during that period. And so that's why you never want to cut the time frame short. You never want to cut the income short. You want to shoot for what you actually want to retire on. Because imagine if you stopped at 50 instead of 55, but at 50 you just got to 60 grand or 80 grand passive, but the lifestyle you really wanted to live was at 120. Because that gives you an extra, that gets you a 40 grand trip every year. But you just had to work the extra 5 years. And I know it's like, but then we're talking 50 to 55. Yeah. Well, it could be 60 to 65, whatever it is. Even imagine 40 to 45. You just go, mate, you work an extra 5 years, you might even be able to double it. And then for the next 40 years, you're living the exact lifestyle you want to live. You know, rents so often keeping in line with inflation, keeping up with growth, CPI, all the rest of this sort of thing, keeps your lifestyle in check with what things cost in today's dollars.
Yeah.
And so that's why when we started really drilling down on it, that's what it comes down to. It is providing the passive income that everyone is sort of chasing to live that lifestyle that they're chasing. Mm. And that's the thing, it's different for everyone.
Yeah, because 2030 for some people, and when I was writing some of the notes and it was running in my head, was don't think when you're listening to this that you have to be like, you're not successful if you're not part of retiring by 2030. Because if that is not in your time frame, put the blinkers on. Like, don't follow someone else's dream. Or, I mean, you know, obviously this is a metric and we'd love to achieve it, and I don't see any reason why we wouldn't achieve it. But if you're 20 or 30 or even 40 or something, and your lifestyle, you're not going to do it in the next 7 years, don't make stupid decisions.
Yeah, especially if you've got like large goals, like larger than average goals, which is completely fine, which is mad. Like, we want to embrace that as well. But that side of things may not fit into in 2030, especially if you're starting now. You've got 6 years to kind of get there, especially if you're starting from a standing point. But it doesn't mean we can't push the envelope and get there in, 8, 10, 12 years. But if you're going to live the rest of your life exactly, being able to fund the exact lifestyle that you want to fund, that's what you're doing it for. That's what we're doing it for. That's what the client should be doing it for.
It's a good framework, isn't it? Because it gives us the opportunity to create some incredible lifestyles by 2030, and some people that fit into that. And for the people that are fitting outside of that, that are going to be doing exceptionally well, but have got the blinkers on, focusing on their own dreams, and they might be a few years later beyond that, you just got to concentrate on what is important to you. Don't get seduced into what everyone else is doing.
They can be part of the next class at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, we have class one graduating by 2030 and then class two graduating 2035.
But put it this way, like, if someone didn't achieve it by 2030 because they want to have 300K passive, but they've already got 100 or 150.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're still added to, and they're still having a pretty good lifestyle.
You've got a pretty good lifestyle.
100%. Like, and you've got an above average goal. So if you've got something that big, it's just something 100% to weigh into the metrics and what you're chasing.
So if we were to put a fork in the road to say, okay, well, how do we know who the 500 people, or what is it going to look like? What do you think as a number? Because is it a number? You'd think it's a passive income number, would it be?
What are you talking about? For each individual person?
Well, just like, so when we say, how will we know when 500 people get to 2030?
Because we'll know, because this is the whole reason why I got Lukey on this with me as well. See, Lukey and I do the bulk of the strategies.
You
know, we pretty much do all the strategies at Australian Property Scout. And so really, it is the metric that we would gauge off what we've initially discussed with the client. What are your initial goals? What are we chasing? Okay. What are we targeting? Mm. And then we obviously log that into our system and we're helping and strategizing towards that client hitting that goal. Mm. And so essentially it's that goal. So if they, if someone's got a goal of 100 and then at 2028 they go, oh, you know what, mate, we're on track for it. We're going to double that now to 200. Mad, man, we're happy to help you. It's probably going to be 2035 until you hit it because we're pretty much already there. But we've helped you hit that first goal, especially if that first goal is what they wanted to retire on as well. So that's how we kind of move that metric on that, you know, attract that from that side as well. And man, we're happy to hit whatever anyone wants to chase on that front. It's always just relevant to, you know, to what their starting position.
And people's goals change. Like you see it all the time, you know, people go, you know, I never thought I could do one property. You know, we've had clients and this is one of the parts of my job I love the most where they come back and they go, I never knew that was possible. You know, you've changed my mindset, you've changed my like life as well, because they thought they could do one property max, and within sort of 12 months plus, you know, they've done three or four deals and they've got the equity built in those deals to go and do the next lot. We pair them up with a really good accountant and a really good broker to help them scale, and they, you know, within a year or two's time frame they come back and they go, if I hadn't have met you, none of that would have been possible. You know, so that's a massive part of like, and also, you know, working with Sammy, that's filtered down to all of us. And that's where, you know, Sam said at the start, APS culture is huge because, you know, at the end of the day, that's that sort of reaction from clients and that feel good where people, you know, come back and have the results and they go, this is the best. That's the place you want to work at the end of the day. And that they're the people you want to help because, it comes from ethics at the end of the day. If you have a good ethics at the top and we abide by that standard across the board, this is why we get those results because it's part of the culture. So I have no doubt we'll hit that target comfortably by 2030. And it's all built around the ethics of what we do and how we do what we do.
Which I love. And it's a good point that you brought up there, Sammy, because it would be silly to put a metric of 100 grand if someone's retirement goals is to have 70 grand or 60 grand. Why would you make them feel like they're not achieving something because you've made up a false goal for them that is not in line with what they want?
Yeah.
Because if you want 60 grand passive, that's completely fine.
Yeah.
So don't get seduced. And I, when I have the calls with people, I say, you don't need to build a portfolio like Sam. Like, don't put that aside because that's irrelevant to you, right? What do you want? Because the same strategy is the same. Like, we're just scaling it out.
Yeah. So it just it stops at a certain amount. Like, it's a metric of a certain amount of properties, certain style of properties to get to a certain goal.
And you're big on visualization. I know how much you love writing down your goals and so forth. So what this should be provoking in our listeners is to start thinking about, and you don't have to nail it down at 100% at this right exact moment, but what is your goal? Like, what is that long-term goal that we're trying to reverse engineer?
Yeah.
Understanding it will change, it might change, but at least for now, what is it? And is it realistic? What do you guys think? Start thinking about that.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Like, I think people will change goals as they go along as well. So, like, I did that myself. I had the 60 grand goal. I hit it. I changed it to, I think it was 150 or whatever it was, and I changed it to 250. And then once I hit those goals, then I changed it to 500, and now it's at a million, you know? And for me, I just changed the metric because I was kind of hitting my goals and knocking them off, and I always go through constant accumulation. But they were, like, stretch points and targets for me to hit as I went. But everyone else is different, right? Like, not... I kind of do it because I live and breathe property. I can't not do deals. It's just in my psyche, right? This is what I do. And especially like with what comes through with us, and like you might get an absolute, you know, we laugh sometimes about like a meth den or some full smashed out house. And like, it's just too much risk to put it onto a client. So then I'm just like, well, the numbers all stack to make sense to do the renovation. If it blows out, it's a bit of a risk, but this is what we'll do. And then I'll go on and take those style of properties. Hence why my goals continually change because my accumulation continues to exceed it. But it doesn't mean the average person has to have, and not even the average person, they, you know, people listening to this and educating themselves and going to the next level, they're thinking well above the average person. But the average investor might think, oh, well, 100 grand passive, right? Or they might think, I would love 250K or whatever, but it might be unachievable in that first hit. So we might need to do it in phases or stages and build the portfolio a little bit differently. It's all good to have that end goal. We just got to build it out differently from that side as well. So chops and changes everyone. Everyone's situation is different. Everyone's starting point is different. Everyone's income is different. All these different things. Everyone's goals are different. And we need to build it in a very different way. And we've said this before on other podcasts. Like, you know, it is a journey. And this is the awesome thing that I love about, obviously, you know, being able to teach Lukey and Paulie does other strategies as well. And kind of being able to work through this with you boys and clients as well. it's kind of being able to pass on, okay, well, how do we level up past those different platforms and then build to this level and then this level and this level? And that is how we achieve these goals. This is how we get these people to these target incomes that they're chasing.
And I think the goal, when I look at the goal and the numbers, right, it's a key, it's actually a representation of the strategy. Because if you're following a strategy that we've spoken about by other, you know, potentially other BAs or people that don't have a strategy, by following that kind of strategy, it is impossible to achieve in a short time frame.
Yeah.
When you play it out, it just doesn't work. The numbers don't work, right? The numbers don't lie.
Mm.
Whereas the thing I love about the APS strategy is that dual asset accumulation, understanding why you've got them. The only way you can get yourself to be able to replace that income or retire in a certain time frame is because you've built out a portfolio with specific objectives to achieve the number that you want. And you can reverse engineer it pretty accurately.
100%.
Ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I love.
I couldn't agree more. Lukey?
I actually think it's quite a challenge too. Like I love the challenge of being able to scale people up into the higher levels. I was, although, you know, I tried not to do statistics in this potty, I'm going to bring them out anyway.
Here we go.
So if you actually look at recent numbers from this year, there's 71% of all investors hold one property.
You mean in Australia?
In Australia.
One property?
One property,
yeah. Okay. 71, yeah.
18% hold two, 5.8% own three.
So that's 95% of the market owns three or less.
Yeah. 2% own four, less than 1%, 0.9% own five or more, and there's only 19,900 people in Australia that own five or more.
Mm.
Yeah, wow.
Very interesting.
Huge.
Mm. And you think about it when you start talking about like five plus, six plus property portfolio. That's what you need to generate a half decent size portfolio, especially passive income stream. All right, maybe on the back end, you don't need that many to hit 100, 150K net passive. You might not need that many to hit that passive income target goal, but you will need it. You will need to build a portfolio that big to essentially exit and get down to that level as well. So
it didn't say it in the report, which I was really keen to understand if that included trust structures.
Yeah,
generally, if that would be personal names only.
Yeah, it generally doesn't. But again, like the metric of the amount of people that would be out there that would own trust, like, yeah, right, there probably is a few thousand people kind of on top of that as well, but it wouldn't be a ridiculous amount more just because someone has a trust or sets up a trust and buys one or two properties. It doesn't mean they've gone to six plus properties.
Yeah, you
know, I think that's an important thing to know as well. So one of the things, and I don't want to labor too much, obviously we've gone around like, you know, unpacking the mission and talking about what, you know, how we've defined it and what we're actually chasing for people as well. But I think one of the other things that we'll talk about for half a second is I get asked a lot of the time, like, where are we at with the journey? You know, where are we at? Oh, how many people are you going? You must be almost there. Mate, we bloody said it a year ago or 2 years ago, whatever the bloody hell it was. Like, and I think the reason why I want to bring this point up is because it takes time. And we've already got a handful of people that we have achieved this for, you know, and they were people we went extremely hard. Like if Jimmy's goal was 100,000 net passive, we probably would have hit your goal in about 18 to 24 month window because of the properties we acquired initially and then the growth we had as well. You acquired so rapidly, if that was your goal, you had accumulated the cash flow deals, you sell off your bread and butters and wipe out the debt, you probably would have hit it and you could have hit it in a 2 year window. And we have clients that have done that. But I think what's important to know is property is a long-term game. It is a compounding game. You have to realize it is a long-term game. But when we talk long-term in property, there's some people out there, they talk 20, 30 years, right? We realistically can talk 5, 7, 10-year window. 5 years, you can achieve a lot in property, a lot. You can achieve a lot in a 12 to 24-month window. Can the average person retire themselves in 12 to 24 months? No. Can you get a long way there 5 years in? Yes. Can you hit it 7 to 10? Yes. But it takes time and it takes continued accumulation, especially in those early pieces, to get yourself there as well. So one of the reason I wanted to bring that up as well is it's because it's not as if we're going to tick off, we've got, you know, let's say 70, 80 clients a year. We're ticking off every year until we hit this thing, you know, 500 probably. It's not going to work like that. Essentially, the way it will compound with the amount of people that have especially loaded up in these first few years, growth, cash flow, it all compounding, going through the cycles, going through the strategies, exiting as we advise and whatnot as well, and kind of moving through those pieces to then start ticking them off in a serious numbered fashion in probably the last 2, 3, potentially 4 years as well. So it is a good question, but I think understanding, especially that property is a longer term game, it takes time for this thing to get in, take effect, accumulate, compound from that effect as well. It's going to take time to get there too. But I love it, man. I love the challenge that, you know, that we've kind of got within there as well. And I'm going to be really excited when we start rolling around to like 2026, 27, 28 and start seeing some of these numbers racking up. We'll probably have a bloody tally board up. We'll probably put it behind the potty in that when we get there.
Yeah, that's a great one,
mate,
isn't it?
I don't know if you'll make it that far, Jimmy. Yep. Maybe you're looking a bit on the legs, you know? Like
I got a bit of a sniffle.
Lukey might be across the table. We're going to put it up there. Mate, I'll put it on there. I'll put a photo there.
Thank you very much. Put it on my grave site. But can we touch on on retirement in general? Because I'm always
considering it.
Well, no, I'm just always fascinated by the view of retirement when I was in 20 or 30 compared to now has just completely changed. And knowing people who have retired, it's changed it even further. And for me, what I would love to see at 2030, when there's going to be at least 500 or more, I've got a pretty good sneaking suspicion that the majority of those people will still be hustling and doing things regardless of the goals they've achieved because of purpose. It's the purpose to do things, because otherwise, what do you do?
I think the majority, especially of the, I'll probably say like sub 50-year-old age group, I think they will reset and go again, and they'll be like, I cannot believe we hit 100, 150, whatever. Let's go for 250.
But you're right. So you're thinking people above 50 will go, you know what, let's go and travel. Let's just enjoy the money and all that sort of stuff.
We have clients that come on board and say, you know, my goal is to buy a property. Like I've worked so hard to buy one. Mm. And then they see the performance on that one and, you know, we go and get the growth and we build the equity and they go, I'm now upping my goal to two.
Yeah.
Perfect. Right. You don't have to have massive goals when you come on board. You know, we can just get started.
Yeah.
You know, and we can teach you the concepts. Obviously, the podcast is a massive help and, you know, that builds the foundation there too. But, you know, you're just starting.
Yeah.
You know, if you start, you're ahead of 90% of the population in terms of...
Well, look at the stats.
Yeah. A lot of people don't start ever. Mm. So, you know... It doesn't have to be a massive goal. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. You know, a lot of people come on board and, you know, the goal is 60 or 100 grand and that's perfect. You know, there's nothing wrong with that and they can do that. But, you know, if you're coming on board with a goal of having one and you never thought you'd have any, that's a perfect goal to have.
That's a great point, Lukey. And further to what you're saying, the goals, right? If you're going to go forward here, folks, and 2030, you're only going to be happy when you get 2030 and you're only going to think that you've achieved something if you're waiting till then, then you're going to waste the next 7 years. Like, what about focusing on what is the next goal? The next goal is like if it's one property or it's the next one and celebrating the wins along the way, because otherwise we're just the destination. We talk about this, the destination happiness. And if you're thinking, I'm only going to be happy if I achieve this in 2030, you are missing the point of this. It is good to have that as a long-term goal, but we need to celebrate the goals along the way. What do you reckon?
Celebrate the goal. Celebrate the wins. We need to celebrate the wins along the way, 100%. That's funny. You and I were chatting about this yesterday, Jimmy, when we got together. And we were talking about that, about like celebrating the wins and you know, enjoying life on the way through as well. We obviously had the potty last year where we brought this up as well, you know, making sure that you're actually enjoying the journey along the way as well, not just becoming super fixated on this thing and not enjoying, you know, if it takes you 7 or 10 years to get there, you want to make sure you still enjoy that time frame and you celebrate your wins and everything as you go through as well. The amount of clients I have, because a lot of time I might give a client a quick call on settlement or send them a text or whatever, and you send them the like the cheers glasses and stuff, and then they'll send you back. They got a couple of beers there, or they got the wine glasses with the bottle of Moët out on the night of settlement as well.
Shivers Regal
for Lukey. Oh, he's waiting for his bottle. He hasn't got it yet. So he just shows an empty glass. With a big smile. Yeah.
we'll bring it up mid-year.
We'll see. But and then these people are kind of sending these things through and they're celebrating the wins on the way through too. So they're making sure they're enjoying it. They're celebrating because it is a journey. And it makes me like smile and I think about it, because this is like, I can't even remember the last time I celebrated buying a property or a deal or doing something like that. Like sometimes I get that little feeling of elation when a really good deal comes together or something like that. But so often it's just like, for me, it's almost like business, right? It's methodical and I know I'm making this on it, blah, 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 keep moving. But it's very important when you're early, because it keeps the momentum building and reminding you of why you're doing it. It's probably a great time each time you buy a deal to review your goals as well. You know, what were your goals for this year? Are you on track for it? Or you might be listening to this now in August, September, October or something like that and going, we set the goal for three properties. We're only on one. And we need to give the boys a call and get this thing moving, you know? And I'm not kidding about that because, like, it's that continual accumulation, the stack and the deck early. When you do that, that is when you win. Yeah. When you get sidetracked and you go, oh, I was supposed to do six deals, you know, three deals a year or four deals, two deals each year. That's one every 6 months. We're not talking about doing four deals in 1 month sort of thing. It's one deal every 6 months. That's not that crazy. Mm. But you get to the end of it and you only did one deal because this thing popped up, that thing popped up. Guarantee you, everyone has things popped up. Everyone that bought a property every 6 months had things popped up, but they stuck to the goal. They stuck to the vision and the goals that they set for themselves at the start of the year. And then I guarantee you in 2 years' time, at the end of that 2 years, where old mate's only bought one and the other bloke who set the goal for four has bought the two, set the goal for the four and bought the four. It's going to be a very, very different position that guy's going to be in. And the confidence and the compounding effect and the momentum that guy's going to have carrying it into the next 2 years is going to be a game changer. And the other guy's going to get left behind. And there's nothing wrong if your goal was one property in 2 years. If that's your goal, that's your goal. But like the other, if your goal was a four and you let excuses and whatnot get in the way, that's what's going to hold you back from winning. Your excuses are what's going to hold you back from winning. The compounding effect of going hard, especially early, and sticking to your goals. That's the biggest thing I look at. When I went hard and I continually picked up two, three, four deals a year in my mid-20s, that's when my portfolio just went wild. Because all of a sudden, that market did, I made 10% on the way in, and then the market did 10% the next year. I was like, holy shit, I'm starting to make twice what I'm making from working my ass off every year on the side hustle doing this. This makes so much sense. And then, dang, you double down on it, do it again. But then what you're getting to year three and four after you started doing two, three a year and you're looking back and the ones you bought 3-4 years ago, you know, they've had massive growth and they're literally just paying you, spitting you deposits nonstop so you can keep building it. So I know we've gone a little off field with this, gone a little bit of a tangent with this, but this is where you've got to realize this. If you stick to this and you literally focus on this thing, this is how you get to this. This is how you become part of that. And that's what we help our clients do. We keep them accountable to that as well. But obviously it's on the people as well to keep themselves accountable to their own goals too.
Yeah, I think what I loved about your story, Sammy, because and I know that you said before that you don't celebrate some of the wins on the individual properties, but you generally anchor a reward of something when you've achieved the milestone.
Yes.
So for our, and because obviously you've built out a pretty substantial portfolio, but for a lot of our listeners that haven't got to that point yet, it is the one property, right? So having that goal or that reward is what's going to keep you motivated.
Yeah.
And even though you might want to have that 10 property portfolio, whatever, but if you're not celebrating the number one or number two, then you're just going to be, It's a term called destination happiness, and a mate of mine, a mentor of mine, always said that, Jimmy, don't fall in the trap of the destination happiness. And he said it's basically the if when I get this, then I will be happy. So when I've done this, then I'll be whatever it is. When I get married, or when I buy the property, when I do, you know, if you're always having that destination happiness, it's just going to constantly change because once you get that, but when I get this. And it's a never-ending cycle. And I've been guilty of that. I catch myself out all the time. We're all human. Sometimes you can sort of be blasé about it. And you really do have to celebrate the wins. Keep your big picture in mind, but make sure you celebrate the wins, the little wins. Mm.
There was a really good I was listening to a podcast the other day, and he was basically talking about that exact thing. He was saying there are things that you've already done in your life that you previously said would make you happy when you did them.
That's a cracker.
And I don't want to, that's not so like true. From me, but like, that's so true. Like, I remember like growing up, I was like, oh, I can't
say
wait.
Say it again.
Things that you've already done in life, previously you've said would make you happy. You've already done them.
You're doing those things now or you've already done them.
You've already done them or you're doing them. You know, I went growing up, you know, like, and to be honest, like I said it and it does, you know, I said to myself, like, I'd love to be a dad. And like, that's going to make me so happy when that happens. And it does. It makes me happy every single day, you know. So
except between 4 and 6 p.m.
unless there's a kick in the rib at 2 a.m. Like, we'll talk about that later. But
4 to 6 p.m., he's still in the office, bro. Do you mean a.m.?
Well, I don't know if he's in the office.
He's not like you, mate. He's still he works hard. This bloke works hard.
Go on, Lukey.
Not all of us
he
work 3 days.
He couldn't let it go.
I was going to say, not all of us work 3 days, 3 hours a day.
3 hours a day, 3 days a week, 3 days a month.
Talking about Sammy.
No, you're all over it. But yeah, when I heard that, I was like, that's massive because there's always going to be, and I forgot his name, Matthew McConaughey, the actor.
Yeah.
One of his Golden Globe speeches, he was saying, I'm chasing me in 10 years because when I get there, I'm then going to chase me in 10 years from that. And his speech was really good in that because he was basically talking about how he always wants to set himself bigger goals and bigger targets because if you're exactly what you're saying, destination happiness I actually think it's probably destination unhappiness because at the end of the day, there's so many things you say will make you happy, you get there and it doesn't mean anything to you. So one example I was going to say before we went off the topic.
Example but me.
Some of our clients, when they do a deal, you know, one of their thing was, I'm going to crack that special bottle that I had.
Awesome.
You know, we've got clients that do that and they'll send a phone and they thanks for all the help, you know. I'm cracking this special bottle tonight, you know, to celebrate. And then we have the other people that, you know, will go and do something that was special to them because, you know, they hit their target. So those sort of things are awesome. I love seeing it.
I get sometimes the people, some of the clients will send me, you know, because we send out typically end of year, right? We'll send out the little hampers. They get the nice bottle of, you know, champagne and all the rest of the stuff. Or occasionally we send out to Shivers just not to leaky there.
It's in the mail.
It's in the mail. It's in 2023. No, 2030. But like they send it to me. They say, Matt, I was waiting for the next deal to go through and settle before we crack this thing. And they send me the photos. We've been waiting since Christmas to crack this thing. So it's cool, you know, like they're almost like saving those little things of, oh, we'll save it for the next deal and then we'll celebrate with that. Because so often like these little things, like these people, a lot of people are saving really hard. They're not being frivolous with their money and whatnot. And then they're saving for those special occasions like that as well. So I love it, man. Like it's, it's very, very motivating within that. Because I think... I see myself and a lot of clients out there. I see my parents and a lot of clients out there. I even see a lot of my mates out there, you know, in clients out there that might be, have done well in the past and then they've kind of like frazzled the opportunity that they might have had, fumbled the opportunity they might have had to build themselves really good money when they were making really good money. Sorry, build themselves a good portfolio. And then you can kind of, you see that person there, you go, mate, I got to teach you these lessons. I've got to give you this example of someone that we've seen before. And I think that's a cool thing about how many people in so many walks of life we deal with and work so closely with that we can help shape and mold them into, you know, going forward into building what they really, really want. So I love it, man. It's mad.
Mm. It's very aspirational. I love it. It gives you a good feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to be fair, to see all those little wins, because the little wins make up the big wins.
100%.
You know, you can't get to a big win by stacking losses together.
It's like when we get the settlement text and we're always sending each other the reval text. Yeah. And then we throw, if you guys aren't following us on Instagram at Australian Property Scout, make sure you go jump up. We don't put them all up there, but whenever I kind of think about one of the guys send me one, I'll put it on the story and then save it in the highlights reel of client wins or something like that. Go hit those and see some of those. When we all get it, we all pump those into the group chat with the team and everyone's loving it. Well, the big revals, you know, 3-6 months post settlement. Sometimes it might be 12 or 24 months post settlement. They've owned this thing for a while and it might have done 80-100% worth of growth, you know, in this time frame, or it might be 6 months post settlement, it's up 100 grand and they're stripping that equity out and going again. And those wins, like seeing those things, I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys should go over there and make sure you check it out because there's some cool ones. Even like some funny guys in there, they write some silly, you know, some silly things or some people that are like seriously moved by it as well. Like, mate, thank you so much. And I love it, you know, these wins like that, it's indescribable, you know.
Because you see them every day, right? You see all these numbers every day. And I know you don't take it for granted, but when you think about it, someone's bought a property, they're on, say, 80 or 100 grand. Yeah. That property in 12 months has increased the same amount of money they're earning all year. So they're not saving that money.
Yeah, if not more.
Right? They're still paying tax on that money. Mm. And to have bought a really good asset to achieve that uplift, I mean, that is that is so powerful of what is possible with this game, to change your life completely. Yeah.
So it's the way the average Australian, sorry to cut you off there, mate, but there's a way the average Australian can leverage themselves to become ultra wealthy. So even just wealthy. A lot of Australians, they just want to replace their income, which in almost everyone in the world would agree that makes someone wealthy. When they've got passive income 100%. Coming and replace that, that's wealthy. And so many average Australians that just want to have a crack at this thing and go out and create something special, that's what they need to do it. And man, being able to help them do that is crazy. Lukey?
I've gone blank, but we'll move on.
Well, we're just on that in terms of being wealthy. Yeah. I think you said the last, 15% of people retire self-funded or something, was
it? Yeah,
it was
a very small percentage. But one of the things that stood out to me about...
No, it was 15% of all property investors.
Oh, okay.
No, so it's basically 80% of self-funded retirees own some form of investment property.
Oh, okay.
So basically,
there's and only 15% of the population is self-funded in retirement.
Yeah, very okay, small. I think it's like 22%, but somewhere they're like low 20. It was 15 originally, but
There's the 15.
In terms of like 80% of self-funded retirees owning some form of investment property. It's a pretty good correlation. What I was going to say there before was a client said to me the other day while we were on the previous point, you and Sam must be so desensitized to all these client wins and people making money. And I said to them, I said, you probably make a good point, but it's because it's so frequent. Like we see it every single day. It doesn't necessarily mean it means less to us seeing it on a daily basis. Mm. It means the world to us because that's what
we're doing. I'm not desensitized at all. I love that shit. Cool. That's send me the text. I want to see the text. Why didn't you send me that text? I want to post it. Come on, bro.
That's what I'm saying. And that's what I said to them. I said, like, we love it. Like seeing it, like, yes, we see it day to day, but that's what we do it for. Like at the end of the day, seeing these results and talking about it with clients and them saying, I could not believe this is actually, like, I saw the reval and the broker said, what? And I said, what? And we were going, looking at each other stunned. And that's what we do it for. Like, I don't think there's ever anything that'll desensitize you.
I was going to say, is it more for the person who's done it, they're quite surprised because we've talked about it, but they haven't seen it. So they're like, oh my God, this is happening. But for you guys, it's not that you're desensitized, you're just expecting it.
Yeah,
you know what I think. You know what I
but
think.
But there's an expectation that you do the right thing, you get the results, right? So so it's like, this is what I told you we're going to do.
Can I tell you what I honestly see on the inside of APS as well? Like we're all winners. We're all super competitive, and we were joking before because on like you guys were joking before about like the way that I pretty much live my life. But like I play to win, right? I play to win everything. Monopoly, Uno. A race to the piss out. You know what I mean?
I wasn't joking.
Yeah, literally, anything. You know what I mean? And, the better joke on the potty. I always win that one. But
getting the last word.
Always get that one. Because I'll just cut you. But the thing was, we were laughing about it driving the Zambreros, right? And people say like, people might think, oh, we're desensitized to it. Or like, oh, it's just like, it's all good because like, you know, or they're thinking about it, or they just want to focus on 500 people to retire or whatever. We play to win. When a reval comes in and some client on 60 grand just gets a 60K uplift in a 3-4-6 month window or something like, do you think that doesn't give us a buzz? We just won. We play to win. Every time that comes through, we just won. You think when like the best sports people in the world win, they don't celebrate every single time they win? They celebrate. They play to win. And it doesn't mean like whichever it is, when they score goals, when they score hatties, when they bloody touchdowns and all the rest of stuff. Michael Jordan, every time he scores, they celebrate. Every single time you play to win. If you desensitize to that, you're not a winner. You're just in there for the volume game. And I'm not kidding. That's why before, as soon as you said, I arced up, mate. I want to see it every single time. Every single time. And that's what we're built with. That's literally like the APS bloody. I'm spitting at you. I'm getting that bloody fired up.
That's the passion, boy.
Yeah, man. That's
what
I mean. And that's what's within APS. That's the DNA. And that's why the culture is so important to us with how we build this thing, because we play to win. We don't set this goal to set this, I just got this thing up on the wall. Yeah, we're going to chase this thing. Maybe one day we get this.
It's not a marketing tagline.
If we don't hit this, man, there'll be a lot of us in the business. All of us in the business will be disappointed by that if we don't hit it. You know, and this is the thing, man. We are chasing this thing properly. And when we're chasing this thing properly, it's for the clients. You know, that's why I said when we first jumped on, this number is clients by that time frame.
I love it.
I love it too.
I think your point there is really good in terms of it is expected because we hold ourselves to a high standard, and Sammy holds all of us to a high standard. There's no one in the business that is not a winner or not someone that is driven to succeed or, you know, high level performance because it's expected. We expect it of our work ethic and we put in the work. So we do expect results for our clients because we do this on a professional basis. Yeah. You know, our clients aren't paying a fee to get a substandard service. At the end of the day, we expect results, they expect results, and we deliver that.
I wonder if clients actually realize how hard ass we are, like internally within the business in terms of crunching deals. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder it sometimes if like they realize how like finitely we pick through deals, the amount of criteria that we crunch, how hard we value deals, how much of a checklist they have to go through, even from a pricing, location, everything sort of aspect to get presented deals. You know what I mean? It's not like we just, here's a realestate.com ad. Here you go. Here's an email with five of them. Which one would you like? Which a lot of buyer's agents operate like that. It is nothing like that.
And that's what the problem is, because if you told everyone the exact thing that you did,
yeah, let's delete
then
that.
Other people will copy that, right?
Yeah.
So that's what it's like a chicken and the egg. Mm. It's a bit hard to really tell people in this forum exactly what you do, because we all know exactly what goes through. But as soon as you do that, then all your competition goes, oh, okay, well, I just copy what Sammy does, and then I'm going to take away.
Yeah, there's an old saying in this one. You ever seen the movie Taken? From, he calls him and he goes, good luck. Good luck.
Everyone needs to go and watch that. Yeah, that was perfect. Yes.
Thank you.
But had a bit of an accent too.
I just realised I was the dirty Albanian butt that said it to Liam Neeson. You're ugly.
Good luck.
Good luck. Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Oh, because when Liam Neeson says, I'm going to find you, and he says, good luck.
Yeah, that one. Is that it? Bro, how long did it take? How long did it take you?
Are you trying to be Liam Neeson, or are you trying to be the other person?
That's what I said. I was the dirty Albanian.
Why is he dirty?
Because he's a person trafficker, people trafficker. He's not clean.
He was a criminal. Yeah. Anyway,
fair enough. But we know why he's asking.
My brother, my cousin. Go on. Anyway.
Probably is.
But that metric, like, we actually track that. Like, it's not as if we source every deal and every client that we ever see a deal of gets one. We said no to 350 deals last month, in the month of January, and it was a short month.
That's January.
A short month, yeah.
We would reject like 500-600 deals a month easily. Mm. And that's just what enters our system and then gets rejected, let alone what we just reject. Mm. You know, that comes through and goes, nah, everything we see.
I generally talk about like a minimum of 300, you know, like with clients. We reject 300 deals a month. Mm. To be fair, there's plenty of places that just get the deals and pass them on to people, and they'll find someone for it. But at the end of the day, the reason we don't take those 300 deals, and to be honest, we probably do have a bit of a time frame for clients to get a deal, but it's because we're so focused on quality. We're not just going to give you anything that, you know, oh, well, you know, that'll do. Mm. And you probably won't ever come back because you hated us. We so focus on the right deals, we say no to so many.
This is why, like, I love our clients so much, because so many, like, the vast, vast majority of them understand the reason why it is a bit of a wait time with us for a deal, especially in the super, super tight stock environment we're in right now. We're not just going to give them a deal because they're sitting on our books and harassing us or whatever. They're sitting there, they're being patient, they're waiting for the right deal because they know that is ethically how we operate, and we're going to get them the correct deal that's going to suit their portfolio. And man, that's what I love, the respect they have on our side to find them the right deal and the time it takes to do that. Man, I love that. It's massive.
So if someone says to them, another BA, I can get you a deal next week, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good deal.
Man, I can get you a deal 20 grand over market next week as well.
Yeah, that's my point. Mm. So for people to understand, doesn't necessarily mean the speed is not a better deal.
That's why I said before, when you said, oh, someone's going to try go out there and copy you. Mm. Once again, good luck. Let's wrap it. Come on.
Just the last one about the numbers of deals that you reject. I think the thing I love about that is you can't get a good gauge of market value, or you can't understand what is a good deal if you're not vetting and viewing volume. Like that's where the rubber hits the road. It's like you look at two deals. Whereas if you're looking at 500, you're gonna pick out the 10% or whatever it is that is a cracker. Right? So it's the volume of deals, which I love, seeing the volume of deals. That is what you're leveraging on when you're using an expert, because the average person is going to look at two. They're probably going to look online. They're going to go and look at one maybe.
Mate, there's an expert way of doing this. There's absolutely no question. Mm. There is an expert way of doing this, and then there's just, you know, going through doing an online course, setting up a business, and then trying to sell something to someone as well. 100%. There's an expert way of doing this. There's knowing 100% the way to do this as an absolute elite operator. Mm. There's everything else.
Okay.
Boys, we good?
Good luck.
Good luck. You can't do it, bro.
It's your eyes that you guys full character, doesn't it?
It's very, very intense. For anyone not watching, definitely go watch.
Good luck.
Anyway, let's wrap it up.
We'll clip that.
I love the mission, Sammy boy.
Don't clip anything, mate.
I love the mission.
Three key takeaways. Punch it. Or just key takeaways. Whatever you got. Give me a couple.
Focus on your own goals. Keep your own goals super clear in your mind. That is probably the number one thing that I take away from that. Stay in your own lane. Stay in your own lane.
Oh, I love that one. That's a good one.
Which is really important. Mm. And I think everyone's goal is different. Mm. So don't be too short-sighted. That's the last thing. Don't be too short-sighted. Mm. Don't narrow your window thinking you have to do everything within the next 3-5 years if it doesn't fit in line with what you want.
Love it, mate. Love it. Lukey?
I think one thing, we always talk about big numbers as well, but I don't think there's a goal that's too small. You know, if you're wanting to start out with one, there's no issue with that. If your goal is 100, if your goal is 300, that's fine as well. And everyone's on their own journey and everyone's got their own goals. I want to point out to people that are listening that, you know, may think, oh, we don't help people unless they're doing heaps of deals, you know, 2-3 a year. You know, we help people that, you know, just want to do one, you know. So, and that one is so important to you that that's what we need to focus on. So there's no goal too small. There's no goal too large, but everyone's on their own journey. So, you know, we can sort of devise that.
One little thing I'll throw in on that as well. Man, I completely agree with you. And there's some people, they've either been burnt by someone in the past or they know someone else that got burnt, or maybe they've never bought anything and they're super, super nervous and whatnot. I think the vast majority of people that are attracted to this podcast are go-getters and they want to go super hard. But it, maybe you've been sent this potty from your son who's that person, or your daughter who's that person. And maybe they've sent this to you and you're a little bit more conservative and you do just want to start with one and see the results. Exactly as Lukey's saying there, there's no issues or nothing. There's nothing wrong with that. Because then if you get the great deal in the great location, you buy it at the right price, and is great location is the biggest thing, right? It'll do the heavy lifting for you, especially if you're talking, you just want to see how it goes for a couple of years. There's nothing wrong with that. But then if you're on the flip side and you're wanting to go and you're wanting to build something significant, especially in a shorter time frame, this is where you have to be legitimately serious about what you're trying to achieve, and you have to commit to what it takes to get there. So if that is your goal, that's completely fine. But if you want to achieve something massive in the next 7 to 10 years, but you just want to buy one deal and sit on it for 3 years, realize you're not going to hit your goal. That's what I think you really, really need to understand with this. And that's, man, I agree with you completely. There's no goal too small. It's all good, whatever you want to start with, but also be extremely serious with this stuff. And if you want to achieve something big, it's going to take, like, you want massive results, you need to take massive action. It's as simple as that.
And the clients that are buying 2 or 3 deals or something like that, that's generally them seeing the first deal working out and going, get me another one. So it's the first one. It's the biggest hurdle is you just setting a small goal to get started. Let the results, I said to client, let the results dictate your actions beyond that. Let the numbers do the talking.
Love it. Love it. My key takeaways, boys, Jimmy's favorite saying. I just realized when the rubber hits the road. You could probably say it better than me. You said like 14 times this episode. So
well, I said it once.
You definitely said it more than once.
Good luck.
Good luck.
I said it once.
When the rubber hits the road, Jimmy.
When the rubber.
I just wanted to say.
Okay.
That's one of my key takeaways. Something that you love saying.
Yes.
My second one, which is another of Jimmy's favorite saying, destination happiness. I've definitely heard that at least 4 or 5 times today.
I think I copped one of them at least. But I stole it off Jimmy 100%.
But I like it. I like it. That one's a good one.
Are you going to come up with something of yourself?
Oh, of course. I'm just throwing a few things out. I just felt like I heard it so many times from you. But I like it because it's like, it's not just fixating on the end goal. It's enjoying the journeys you go through, celebrating the wins, celebrating the successes. It doesn't mean when you buy your first deal, you need to also then go out and buy an AMG or a bloody McLaren or, you know, I'm just talking going out and buying a new car or something like that to that extent. But stop, think about it, celebrate the win. Something I used to do a lot more when I was younger, and it does really let it sink in properly and realize what you're working towards. So I love that, man. It is a really good thing. And even though you might be resetting goals and moving through as you're going through with it, just make sure you're enjoying the journey along the way as well. So I like that. Man, one of my other ones was focusing on the goal and sticking to the game plans. It's very similar to one of your key takeaways as well. But kind of focusing on the goal, sticking to the game plan is going to get you there. So it's the same as what I was just saying on Lukey's points there. If your goal requires you to buy 2 deals a year, you're buying one every 6 months, don't be the guy that buys the one and then sits there for the 2 years. Be the ballsy investor that, you know, you and I both know you can be, to then go out there and acquire that property every 6 months and let it compound, accumulate, let your level as an investor increase, and you are 100% going to see the rewards, providing you either using the right team to help you get there, or you're doing the diligent enough research to be putting yourself in the right market. Final one, guys, is I think talking about this, especially like kind of when we're really drilling it down and the whole way through, this has just really reminded me of why we're doing this. Like a key takeaway for me really doing this is getting passionate about it, you know, celebrating the wins, even though they're client wins, and seeing that's a win for us, you know, and we always play to win. And I just love it. You know, I love talking about this stuff, getting fired up about it, thinking about the different people that we're out there helping as well. This is a massive, you know, takeaway again for me, why we're doing this and why we're so committed to it as well. So I'm glad we did the app. We were about 10 minutes in, I was thinking, shit, we're almost done here. Like, I think we're pretty well done. And here we are almost an hour in now. So I appreciate you boys jumping on. Big Lukey from the strategy side, man. I know you see a lot of what I see as well. And you're dealing with a lot of the same people as well, man. So I'm really appreciative of you jumping on here and sharing a bit of wisdom for what you're seeing out there. And obviously, Jimmy, man, with your life experience, mate, that 3,001 years worth of juicy, juicy life experience, mate. Thank you for jumping on and sharing that with us and sharing a bit of wisdom.
Good luck.
Have you got anything final to say?
No, I think you hit it on the head. Keep your head down, folks. Stay focused and believe anything is possible.
Yes.
Don't count yourself off. Anything is possible. It's just the first little step. It's the next little
rubber
step.
Rubber on the road. Lukey?
Nah, all good from me.
All good?
Covered it off.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, guys, thank you once again for tuning in. I hope you took some great value out of the episode. If you did, make sure you send it on to someone else. Maybe you got someone sitting there on the fence going, why is APS better than everyone else? Because everyone knows that we are. Why are they? Send them this episode. Send them that final nail in the coffin conviction. If you've loved it, make sure you send it on. Leave us a 5-star testimonial on your favorite listening platform and a review if the option's there as well. I don't even know if it is. If you're not following us on the socials yet, guys, make sure you jump over there at Australian Property Scout and make sure you follow us. Like I said, we're putting stories up all the time of wins, recent deals, client successes. You've got reels from the potty, all the different things, all the updates on everything we're doing as a team, as Australian Property Scout, and for School of Property over there as well, and all the new lessons and whatnot coming out. If you want some more education piece on that side, talking about it right now, make sure you also jump on over to www.schoolofproperty.com.au. Otherwise, guys, thank you very much for tuning in. And once again, this is the Scouting Australia Good Luck Podcast.